Welcome. This is the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Happy Friday. Well, it's not just Friday. It's the beginning of the weekend. You know, it's not just Friday and the beginning of the weekend. It's Friday. It's the beginning of the weekend, and it's, in the St. Louis area at least, going to be a delightful weekend. And not only is it Friday, is it the start of the weekend? Is it the start of a delightful weekend? Today, Dr. Steinbrunn, is National Bratwurst Day. How does it get any better?
Yeah, that's it. That is a great day then, yeah.
Oh, this is the marvel of God's great creation. It is National Bratwurst Day. Congratulations and celebrate robustly over your barbecue this weekend.
That's right. Well, I know what I'm doing tonight now.
That's good. That's right. The Reverend Dr. Anthony Steinbrunn is president of the New Jersey District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. My guest this morning on the Bible study as we take a look at Romans chapter 3, verses 9 to 18. How is everything up in the Northeast?
Yeah, it's delightful too here. The weather has really been amazing for us. We're just inside the upper 70s, low 80s every day, plenty of sun. Just a little bit of moisture to keep the yard looking nice. And, yeah, this was really about the nicest August I remember in the 10 years we've lived here, Roland.
Yeah, the thing that makes me nervous, I'm not a pessimist, I'm not a cynic, I can be at times, but I'm starting to worry about what winter's going to be like.
It's so nice
right now. When October comes, just how cold is it going to get? Hey, I did not mention that you're also the author of a great book from CPH. If you've got a high schooler, even a junior high schooler, they're in like a religion 101 class, even maybe a freshman at college, Worldviews, that you put out through CPH. Great book.
That's kind of you, Roland, yeah. Yeah, it was nice to write something like that. I hope it's useful for people, sure.
And also, thanks. It was just delightful, to little inside baseball here. Let the listeners, you know, bear with me for a moment. But it was just good to see you when you were in town for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Convention about a month ago.
I know. Yeah, it was great to see you too, Roland. That was special. I was hoping that I'd be able to run into you once or twice, and it was really nice to be able to visit. Yeah, it was really good. Good to see you.
Yeah. Just really gracious of you also to spend some time for the Saturday program, Studio A. But today we have to deal with Romans in chapter 3 and verses 9 to 18. And I'm still waiting for the gospel. We're almost halfway through three chapters of Romans. And it's still, I don't know, is it going to show up somewhere today, I hope?
Yeah, that's it. Chapter 3 gets nice. I mean, the second half of the book, the chapter especially, Roland, is some of the best, the gospel that you're going to find inside Scripture. So you're right, but yeah, the first couple of chapters, you know, Paul's laying it out and kind of helping us understand what the human condition's all about and what we're like, that's for sure.
Well, if you would begin with prayer, we'll get right about our work for this morning.
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we come to you this day and thankful for this opportunity that we have to take a look at Scripture, to hear it, to be able to read it, reflect upon it, so that it can help us understand what our heart is like, what our life is like, and not just us. It gives us a window to be able to see our neighbor and the struggles and the great challenge that they have inside life with sin, and no one's righteous, not one. When you look down from heaven, you see, again, the way that we live, the way that we act with each other, and all the bad things that come out of this dark heart of ours and of all people. But we do thank you, again, that there is mercy and that there is grace, and that there is the blood of Christ that covers all sin. And we delight then inside that good news, that gospel that's ours in Christ Jesus. We ask that you be with us now. Be with Roland especially as we talk about these things. Again, may this word then deeply touch our hearts and give us wisdom, give us knowledge, and give us a message for our neighbor. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. You can join us today in the St. Louis metro area. Dial in at 821-0850. Anywhere else in the United States, 1-800-730-2727. And from any other point, at all points and beyond, try the email kfuo@kfuo.org. And you know what you were saying, Dr. Steinbrunn, when you were talking about God watching us, as we come before God's altar this weekend, we raise up our prayers to him. Just a little request on my part. Remember the Christians of the Middle East. Remember the Christians of Egypt and what they're enduring today in Libya and Syria and all those places. Sadly, you know, if you want to know what it was like to be a Christian during the Arab invasions, they're reliving that today, I think.
Yeah, these are difficult times. We had an opportunity when we came back from Africa in 2000 to spend a week inside Egypt. And, it's again, very sobering to be hearing the news the last couple of days and the tension, the killing that's going on, the fighting. That's sad. We met several really interesting, good people there when we were there, and you wonder, you think about them, and you hope that, again, their world is, you know, going to be okay. That's right, Roland,
And it's the Christians of Southern Sudan and the Christians of Nigeria, and it seems almost where a Christian sets foot anywhere in the continent of Africa, there is some trouble coming their way.
Yeah, especially that northern half, but you're right. Yeah, it's interesting. It's a challenging continent, Africa is. You're right. Yeah, a lot of persecution. And I hear just one guy, maybe I've shared this story before, but the guy was inside the Delta program about 10 years ago inside South Dakota, and his father then was killed. They came into the village, some Muslims dead there, and found him and brought him up to the hills and then took his life, and that happened, you know, quite a bit, you know, if you get, again, people to talk. So, again, quite a bit of persecution for Christians, Roland.
Yeah, and not to jump ahead, but when I read the last verse of today's text, which is verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes.
Yeah.
I can't help but think of what's going on in the Middle East right now.
Yeah, that is really a great verse right there, verse 18. And that's a challenge, I think, for culture in general. Especially we're seeing it there. But I think it's always a frightening place, in a sense, to walk into when you know that the people that you're dwelling in the midst of have no fear of God, okay? Mm-hmm. Because what is there then? I don't know if it was Abraham, but I think it was in Genesis, Roland, where he says, there's no fear of God in this place. And then he was very anxious, okay? And, of course, then the comforting words is, the Lord is my shield, right?
Right.
My great protector. And so that gave him comfort. But still, that's a frightening place to be when you perceive that there's no fear of God in the lives of people. Yeah.
So Romans 3, 9-18, the text begins at verse 9. What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have all already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, they use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips, their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, in their path are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And that is the text for today.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great way to start your Friday, isn't it?
I agree. That's pretty hard stuff right there. Yeah. Their mouth isn't that good, and their feet are swift to take blood. Wherever they go, they bring destruction and misery. That's not good. That's for sure, Roland.
Well, I think it's fair to say, and perhaps you'll agree with me, Dr. Steinbrunn, that the average guy, the average Christian, probably doesn't see themselves as perfect. They probably understand they're far from it.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, they still see themselves as basically good.
Yeah. That's why it's so that, again, we need this good word. This law, and that's kind of a connecting thought always inside, especially inside the Psalms, but inside the Old Testament, where it talks about, you know, fear of the Lord is often connected to the law, and that way we're able to understand who we are. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. That's where the things begin to start there. But without that fear of the Lord, We don't understand things properly, and we don't certainly seek out God as we should. Yeah.
I can't claim credit for this myself. One of the commentaries I was reading through referred to someone who has that view as a good, quote-unquote, good sinner.
Yeah. Huh.
I'm a sinner, but I'm basically good. And yeah. I like the double entendre in that, because we're good at sinning as well.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, they're the kind of people, I think, that might tell you, and you might have encountered these folks in your ministry, that they see themselves as attending church regularly, they tithe regularly, they serve on committees. So when it comes to that point in the liturgy where we have to talk about poor, miserable sinners, well, that's not really them, is it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that always can be a great danger, is that we maybe would think someone else, you know, they're in the assembly, you know, that fits them, but it's not me, okay? And you're right, that's again a dangerous place, is when we don't understand that the law, you know, is speaking to us. This word is written for our learning, for correction, but also to convict us. That's really a key role of the Holy Spirit, is to convict the world of its sin, right? Okay,
right, yeah.
John chapter 16, Roland, yeah.
So no matter how hard we try, how much we may try and accomplish, how good we may think of ourselves, we can never escape the law.
That's right, yeah.
And if we're guilty of one little bit of it, we're guilty of all of it, which puts us right in line with Paul Pot and Stalin and all those other guys.
I remember a long time ago, Roland, my parish in Side, Indiana, I had a lady, I went around and for my dissertation had some questions to ask people. And I said, well, where did you learn then to have this fear of God? And she said, of course, it was Mom, okay? And I think it's true in a way, you know, when you think about growing up, I would say, you think of young Timothy with Lois and Eunice. They're the ones then that help him have this before him, okay? When you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at nighttime, Deuteronomy chapter 6, Roland, you know, we get enculturated into this way of life, this walk, okay, that God wants us to have. And then it helps us. Maybe when we're young, you know, at times we're troubled. We might wish that we weren't hearing it or being instructed in it. But when we get to be older, it's a helpful thing, Roland. At least that's my experience. And my mom was my great teacher, I think, when I think back on it, more than anyone else. Dad, too, was involved, Roland, but Mom especially for me. Yeah.
You know, we've talked a couple of times about your adventures out in the desert at the Burning Man Festival. And I would bet this is the attitude that you encounter from the average guy out there.
That's right. When I saw the text that we were going to be talking about, Roland, I'm leaving tomorrow, okay, working my way up to Minnesota to see Mom for a couple of days, but then making my way out there to Reno. And that's it. Very little fear of God in this place. You're right. You see just about anything that you want to try. You know, it can happen out there on the playa, okay, during that week that I'm out there. So experiments in living is what I keep on calling it. People that are casting off restraint, if you want to use that phrase. So that gives you that freedom to do that for a week. That's why it's an attractive place for quite a few people, Roland. Yeah.
So when you encounter these folks at Burning Man, how do you talk to someone who honestly believes that whatever sin they may be holding on to, whatever they think whatever this sin may be, it's what makes them happy, it makes their life worth living, it gives them some form of identity and self-worth, and much more so than when they try to be good and follow God's law.
Yeah, I agree. It's a challenging conversation with some, some not so much. The place where it's easiest, Roland, is the there's a temple out there that they burn on Sunday night. Okay, and that's kind of the spiritual place. Okay, where people gather, and that's the place where I talk to people like 2 years ago when I was out there. And had my best conversations was in that place. And I just had asked them a couple of questions dealing with the theme. That's always the challenge, but it kind of gives you permission, depending on the anthropological theme that you're dealing with. Like 2 years ago was the rites of passage. Okay, so I picked up on death as one of the rites of passage. There's four of them. And so we talked about death, and I just had two simple questions. What do you think is going to happen to you when you die? And then the second question, why do you think that's going to be your journey? Why do you think that's going to happen to you? And what's your source, okay? So that's what we talked about. This time it's the cargo cult. It's what happens when Western prosperity and wealth comes into animistic culture. And so I'm still thinking, Roland, the kind of thing that I'll be asking. But that's what I'm going to try to figure out, a couple of questions just to get people, and it gives you permission to talk about that theme, because that's why we're, in a sense, gathering out there. The cargo cult was the theme chosen by Harvey this year for the whole assembly to kind of, you know, think about and be part of, yeah.
Yeah, and the cargo cult, if I recall, was, Papua New Guinea, that area after World War II, because they turned these islands into supply stations.
That's right.
And these planes would bring all kinds of good stuff, and what, the folks started worshiping the planes, I guess, in a sense.
The planes, and then some of the rituals, so the soldiers that brought the goods. It's fascinating, yeah. And so Joseph, my son, my oldest son's going to go out there with me, and he's already working on the stuff for our witnessing, Roland, okay? So we've got a gift. There's about 100 gifts that we're going to hand out to people if they talk to us. I think for us, for me, the key theme is well-being, peace, okay? Shalom in the Old Testament.
Right.
Irene inside the Greek. So that's probably a dominant way I'm going to go about talking about this, Roland, is peace, well-being, wholeness. And do you have that, okay? Because that's kind of what the animus is questing for, life force, okay? And so how can I, too, help people understand? Romans 5 would be important. You know, we have peace with God through Christ Jesus. So I'm not quite sure exactly how I'll go about getting there, Roland, but that's some of the strategy right now that I'm thinking through, yeah.
Well, how does Paul handle good sinners?
Yeah, it gets back to, I think, verse 10, okay? There's not a person that's righteous. And I forget what the psalmist said that, too. Yeah, there's not a, no, Ecclesiastes 7, Roland, there's not a righteous man on earth who does right and never sins. So I think that's an important thing for us to remind ourselves of. Okay, daily, you know, we confess, okay, we drowned, because we know that this old man's going to seek to come alive and do mischief. And then, we acknowledge that. And then, like if I say I have no sin, I deceive myself, okay? And so that's it, too, at that journey, I think, Roland. It's deception, okay, if we deny that this is who we are, yeah.
When you preach, president of a district, you probably get called upon to preach in a lot of different places, a lot of different times.
Yeah.
Again, I don't want to paint too broadly here, but sometimes, you know, because you miss the details a little bit, but with my broad brush in hand,
yeah.
I really have to wonder if the majority mindset of the people sitting in the pews is that they're far from ready to admit that they're sort of hell-deserving sinners and in desperate need of God's grace.
Yeah.
And how do you, as a preacher, then penetrate that? I think because this is what Paul is doing here. He's talking to a congregation of Christians in Rome. He's not talking to pagans.
That's right. Yeah, that's it. How do you help people really wrestle with guilt, okay, the dread, possibly? And I know how terrible it is to stand in the presence of the living God. You get a picture of that inside Revelation at times. I think, the posture of someone, Roland, that's in trouble. But right, how do you help people be brought to that point? Because we can become complacent, and the Bethel Bible series, one of my favorite sessions is early on in Genesis, because it talks about the ledger method, you know, where, you know, I got a whole bunch of good things that I've done. I know I've done a couple of shortcomings there, but bottom line is I live with myself because I've got a whole bunch of good things rolling, you know, that I've done. And I think that's one of the things that people need to be challenged with. I lift that up in sermons, I think, at times, or the comparative method, Roland, where I compare myself to somebody else and, you know, I come out of it okay.
Well, that's the tax collector and the Pharisee.
That's right. And So I think those are ways, I think, Roland, that you can help people understand this. But I think Jesus gets at it really well inside, was it maybe Matthew 15, where he says, this is what the human heart's like. And I think that's a big thing, too, for us to do. Jesus says when he peers, looks inside our heart, this is what he sees. This is what's there. And it's not good. It's not a pretty place.
Well, your vocation has called you to different places. You served in Africa as a missionary. You've had parish ministries. You're now president of a district in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I have to assume, and correct me, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but it's harder to reach the person who is sort of self-assured in their salvation sitting in the pew than it is the person who maybe is in Botswana, who is in privation and is suffering and has very little going for them at the time. I think that's probably the easier person to reach.
You're exactly right. I would say animistic cultures like are that way because they're living with spirituality all the time. You know, whereas inside the West we have a tendency to secularize things. Okay, and so there's places, a lot of places inside our culture where there is little fear of God. Okay, whereas for the animist, he lives in fear the whole time. His whole day is one of fear. And so, of course, he's fearful of many different kinds of things, okay? His neighbor possibly putting a curse on him, you know, the ancestors maybe being upset, those kinds of things, see? So, you're right, Roland. It's easier to have a conversation then. And they're looking, in a sense, for power and for someone that's greater than these things, see? So you're right, the conversations are easier, Roland.
And in the most fundamental form, when you find folks going out to the desert for Burning Man, they're searching, aren't they? They're looking for something they can hang on to. They may think they've found it, but they're really not sure.
Yeah, community is big, I would say, for people. And that's probably the most common thing when you talk to the veteran burners, is what they call themselves, the ones that have been out there 20, 25 times.
Did we lose your call? Let's see if Dr. Steinbrunn picks up again. Nope, I heard the click. Unfortunately, that is the curse of a phone system. It tends to want to drop out from time to time. The Reverend Dr. Anthony Steinbrunn is my guest this morning. He serves as president of the New Jersey District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We are in Romans chapter 3. We're going verses 9 to 18. We'll get Dr. Steinbrunn back on the line here. We've got about a minute and a half before we have to go to our break. So I don't know if I'm on the right course or not. Why don't you join us at 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727 and let us know. We'd like to hear from you, because I think what Paul is driving at here is that he's talking to the folks that are comfortable and need a little bit of... Have you ever heard that phrase, you know, comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable? I think Paul's going after the comfortable here, the folks who find themselves sort of assured in their salvation and don't need to worry about God's law and what it may or may not mean for them in terms of, well, how they stand before God. Luther, when he died, the story is told that, well, he is dying, and as they go through his things upon his death, they find the note that he has scrawled in his pocket. It says, basically, we are all beggars.
That's right.
We are all beggars. Thanks for joining us again. Sorry about that. I'm not quite sure what happened with the phone lines.
It's hard to say, Roland. That's always a frustration, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, you know, it's an imperfect thing, this world. And
that's right.
And, you know, I think sometimes, you know, Satan pops in and vexes us so just when we're getting to some really good points.
There you go. Yeah, he's a mischief kind of guy, that's for sure. And he gets into that. He likes to cause trouble.
Now, the break comes up here in about 30 seconds. So rather than get into something that needs a little bit more time, as I put this together today, as I worked on my outline, do you think I've gotten to the core of what Paul's getting at? And I while you were off the line for a moment, I said, we have that line about comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. And I think we're in the second half of that equation in this text in Romans.
Yeah, it's good. That's a good insight, I would say there. Yeah, that gets at it. Because we need that, okay? That's our life, you know, going back and forth in a way. But I like that. That's the rhythm there, and that needs to be done. That certainly needs to be done at times, yeah.
The Reverend Dr. Anthony Steinbrunn, president of the New Jersey District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, is my guest this morning. As I mentioned, Romans 3, verses 9 to 18. We're going to fix this phone line once and for all, and we'll be right back in just a few moments. Stick around.
Book Talk is for all who like books about the Christian faith, and there are so many of them, old books, new books, classic books. Jiminy Durante says it well.
I'll never forget the day I read a book. It was contagious, 70 pages. There were pictures here and there, so it wasn't hard to
bear. That's what we do on Book Talk. Remember the day we read the book and chat about it with its author. Join us live streaming archive.
Perhaps you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice, or maybe it's difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning. Either way, you'll benefit from our live worship broadcasts each week on Worldwide KFUO. Our early service begins at 8 and originates from Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in Florissant, where Reverend Matt Roglin leads worship. Our live late service at 10:30 comes from St. John's Lutheran Church in Redbud, Illinois, where Reverend Mark Neville serves as pastor. Join us for the message of salvation in Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
Right now, wherever you are in your race of grace, your life of faith, you have the promise, the assurance of real victory because of Christ. Run trusting in the one who authors your life of grace and will bring your life of faith in him to a glorious completion.
Pastor Gregory Seltz, this week on The Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back. This is the Bible study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide, KFUO. I guess Dr. Steimer, I should start out by saying, testing, can you hear me now?
That's good, Roland. Sure.
All right, there we go. It is good to have you back. The Reverend Dr. Anthony Steinbrunn serves as president of the New Jersey District of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. We're going through Romans chapter 3, verses 9 to 18. And just sort of thinking during that very short break, you know, if I'm someone who thinks of myself as being basically good,
mm-hmm.
Do I really need a savior, or do I need a buddy or a co-pilot or sort of a life coach? Is that what I'm after, and I'm not after a savior?
Yeah, I would think, you know, that could certainly be a great danger there, because you're hoping to be connected to somebody that can advise you towards perfection. It's kind of an old Indian way within Hinduism, okay? You need to work on it, but you find someone who's able then to help perfect you, you know, kind of thing, and move you along the way even a little bit better, see? So you're right, that can be a dangerous journey, Roland, yeah.
You know, I started out yesterday's hour with Pastor Tice by asking, yeah, doesn't God care about my self-esteem?
Huh.
And I'll throw that one out to you as well.
Well, you know, we are precious in his sight, okay? And we are loved. I guess when I think of self-esteem, I think that's huge. We belong, okay? I think that helps us with that piece. We're secure. I think those things, I think, that help us with that are there with esteem. But mostly, I think, being loved, we're highly valued, we're precious. I guess when I think of that word, those are the things that come to mind for me. And a lot part of that is, I think, Roland, then, is being loved by others, okay, and being forgiven by others. That certainly goes a long way. But, you know, it's those kinds of things, okay? So, yeah, okay, that's what I would say with esteem. And then we are able then to esteem others because they're made in his image. That's maybe one of the great challenges, where we see the fear of the Lord really isn't part of our culture, because we don't reflect on being made in the image of God, okay? And so we have a tendency, maybe that's why, like in Genesis 6 right away, the imagination of man's heart was evil, and all he did was violence then. See, he doesn't treasure his neighbor, and this gets maybe to the Middle East, you know. That's a big part of that, Roland, these different verses, you know, that impact esteem. We esteem some within our, we can have a tendency to be ethnocentric, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Our culture is precious, but forget everybody else, you know, see.
Yeah, that's something we've talked about several times about what I like to refer to as our first citizenship. You know, where do we actually owe our fealty? You you know, because sometimes I think without intention, we can sometimes become Calvinist by osmosis. Because when you look at all the patriotic language and the songs, all about God shed his grace on thee and that, it sort of makes us seem like we are better than everybody else, which is always a dangerous thing.
Right. And that's one of the interesting things when I did just a little bit on the fear of the Lord a bit role in 2 Chronicles 19. With God, then, fear of the Lord is connected to not showing injustice or partiality or bribery. Okay, and so God is a God of, he doesn't show partiality, whereas we have a tendency to look at people from human points of view, you know, 2 Corinthians 5 there, so, but God isn't that way, and his people shouldn't be that way,
But on the other hand, and picking up on the theme of fear, because that's part of this text today as well, am I supposed to go about trembling, hiding under the bed for fear of condemnation of God?
Yeah. That's good. I got the concordance on a little bit, Roland, and trembling is part of it. Dread is part of it. Being afraid is part of it. But that's the lesser use of the word, okay? The dominant way that the word is used inside the scriptures is reverence, okay? To revere him because of maybe his power in making the universe and things. There's something there. But really, God and is revered the most when he gives his life, a theology of the cross. I think that's the great gift and the great way that God demonstrates his glory is to bring salvation to the ends of the earth, Roland. See, so that's what I would get at,
All right, let's go to the phones here in St. Louis, 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727 from other points. Hither and yon, far and beyond. Let's pick up a call from Selena, who is in Cedar Hill. Good morning, Selena. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing fine. The self-esteem issue is one that has got me bugged sometimes because we get so wrapped up in not damaging someone's self-esteem, and we forget that there's a need to discipline as well.
God doesn't,
you know, damage our self-esteem, but he disciplines us.
There you go. Yeah, those whom he loves, he disciplines, right, Selena? That's good. Yeah, that's part of it too, right? Yeah.
I think we get so wrapped up even in schools today that we can't damage a kid's self-esteem that we are not disciplining them in any way, shape, or form.
That's a good observation there. You're right. Is that really love then if we don't help them and instruct them?
Right.
And correct them. That's good. I agree. Yeah.
Well, I just love your show, so thank you guys very much for all you do.
Thank you,
Selena. Roland does a good job, Selena. I'm glad you listened in. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And, you know, considering it's National Bratwurst Day, it strikes me that what goes really good with a bratwurst is a piece of cheesecake on a stick. And let me tell you, Selena makes some of the best in town.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you ever come back to St. Louis and you go to the Muni.
Oh, okay.
As well as some other places. Oh, she was so kind. She brought in a whole crate full of those for us one day a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, geez.
I had to buy another. Yeah. I had to buy another pair of pants. But we won't get it. Anyway, but you know, this is an interesting conversation because when you bring the self-esteem issue into it, I mean, here is St. Paul basically telling us this, that we're all sinners, we all need the gospel, but now here is the problem, and that's that self-esteem and that self-righteousness and feeling really good about how Christian you may be. We suddenly decide for ourselves just how much gospel we need. And just how much law we need, and that comes in varying amounts. And again, this is back to the craft of the pastor in the pulpit to try and get our head straight on this.
Yeah, and that's one of the great contributions that Walther did bring, you know, was to sift through Scripture and, of course, to some of Luther's writings when he writes on the law and gospel. And even Luther, too, said that. That's the real art of the pastor is to do that well, Roland. But it takes a lifetime. I mean, we're always wrestling, I think, with the proper way, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, Paul, what a master craftsman at writing. Look what he lays out here in just quoting other portions of Scripture. You get nobody understands, which is that we sin in thought. The tongue is deceptive. We sin in word. And then no one does good. We sin in deed. Thought, word, and deed.
There you go.
Not much else.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. all the whole body really gets doing that stuff. And you're right, Roland. That's exactly, and that's why when we talk about when we come together, we're honest and we say we struggle in all those areas, and that's our daily journey. Yeah.
So, is there a hierarchy of sin here? Is what we do worse than what we say, and is what we think less worse than what we say and maybe do?
Well, that is an interesting question there.
Because I think that part of the problem here is when you talk about, you know, I'm a pretty good guy, I don't rob banks, and I'm not a child molester,
right,
that kind of thing. I think we're starting to do that Pharisee and tax collector thing again, where we're sort of thinking that there's this sort of hierarchy of sins, and so long as I don't do it, if I just think it, it's not nearly as bad as actually acting it out.
That's right. I agree, Roland. Yeah, that's... Again, pictures come to mind with Divine Dramas and other Bible studied series out there that people can use. And it's got an interesting slide where it's the sin thermometer is the slide there, Roland.
Yeah.
And that's that kind of a thing. They show a gangster at the top of the thermometer, and of course that's about as bad as it gets. But then it works its way down the thermometer. And at the very bottom is somebody just sitting there, you know, watching TV, if I remember it. And so he's not actively doing something bad in a way, but he's not doing good either. So that's kind of it, the sins of omission, okay, along with commission. There's things that we do, but then we omit certainly to say the good word that God wanted said, you know, and to use our tongue, like in verse, your throat, whatever, in verse 13, in order to bless, okay? They're not curse, but to bless, and to use your feet then. Blessed are those. Remember the feet that bring good news in Romans, okay?
Oh, yes.
See, so these are huge, you know, if we look at the contrast side of it inside Scripture. And to not bring ruin, but to bring blessing, I think, to people. Again, to be true sons of and daughters of Abraham, blessed to be a blessing. So when we do walk, we make every place we come into, every setting, is a better place because we entered into that place. See, that could be maybe the corrective there, Roland. Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones. Pick up a call from Mike this morning. Mike, thanks for joining us.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
We are well.
Good.
Listen, I heard your thing about where you were talking about image of God, and what I heard is that, or at least that's what I've been taught, that the image of God doesn't mean that we resemble God, but it comes from the idea that in ancient times, like rulers used to stamp their seal of authority into wax, and that Adam was originally had the image of God, he had the authority of God behind him, but once he sinned, you know, we're no longer in the image of God. What do you think?
Yeah, good. Yeah, that's certainly part of what the image is about, Mike. Genesis gets at that because we do have, in a sense, authority over as stewards, right? Of regents, in a sense, of this created order, and God's entrusted it to us in order to do it faithfully, and often. Then, because of our sin and our nature, our fallen nature, we misuse then this power, this authority, for not good purposes, and we do it towards other human beings, of course, but we do it towards nature as well. So, you're right. That's a good insight, Mike, that you have there, and it is connected with power and authority. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. See you guys later.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah, sure, you bet, Mike.
Good call. Appreciate hearing from you. You have plenty of time to join us at 821-0850 from anywhere in the United States, 1-800-730-2727. I haven't mentioned this for a while, but a couple of things. Number one, you can follow us on Facebook, like the station. You can see all the information that we put up about the different programs, the Bible study, what may be coming up. Also, if you are listening to this by way of download through the website at kfuo.org and you've got an MP3, and maybe we're 2 weeks, 3 weeks down the road from when this broadcast was actually live, and you have a question, email it to us. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll make sure that we get an answer for any question that you may have. It's never too late to ask a question. There's always a pastor around here somewhere at the International Center. We can always get you an answer. Trust me.
Yeah.
All right. Now, when Paul goes through this list, and we've talked about thought, word, and deed, is Paul saying that every sinner commits all of these sins all the time, or that we're simply capable of committing any of these sins at any moment.
Yeah, but we're sinner saint, Roland, and so God is accomplishing good purposes inside of us, okay? As we, you know, like it talks about fear the Lord, but then serve Him, okay? It is a common refrain inside the Scriptures. And so, yeah, we are able to do good, and because, again, we're born again, in a sense. The Spirit dwells inside of us, and so we're able then to accomplish these things. There's workmanship, you know, to do the good things, Roland. So, yeah, that's part of it. But, yeah, sinner, saint at the same time, yeah.
Well, when it comes to sin, you know, I think this is one of these points of contention that really needs some good clarification, and that is, you know, can I, as a sinner, can I get better? Can I discipline myself to sin less so that, you know, every day in every way I'm getting better and better? Or if there is no limit to the kind of sin I can commit, the vulgarity with which I can walk through this life, then why care? I was born this way and just do whatever comes naturally.
Yeah, and that's, again, the Romans, you know, a bit later, you know, Roland, that'll be great when you get to, like, Romans 6, I think, is where it is. That's that antinomian kind of thinking there at the end. Yeah, and so that's part of our challenge. And so because we have this grace in Christ Jesus, then should we sin even more, of course, that grace can abound even more. So that's kind of Paul. But then he goes on to say then, no, we've been baptized then into his death, okay? And so so we die. And then we are raised then to walk in newness of life. And that's that walk. Often, fear of the Lord and then walking in the Lord's ways, his commands, are the way to live. So, yeah, they're often tied together. So the walk is huge, and that's where Romans 6, I think, Roland, really fits, yeah.
Now, we've been going at this for a little bit here, Dr. Steinbrunn. Yeah. Let's pause for a moment and define another word that's important to this. Yeah. What does Paul mean when he talks about righteous and righteousness?
Yeah.
What does he mean by that term? And can I be righteous before men, but yet still be unrighteous before God?
Yeah, that's one of the challenges, I think, that people can have. Is that if I'm righteous inside the sight of others, then that same posture, you know, is before God. And so we can deceive ourselves then, you know, people when they look at, like me as district president, you know, I had a meeting last night, you walk into the place and, you know, the righteous, you know, he's righteous kind of thing. And they just didn't see, you know, a half hour earlier, you know, or whatever. Or they could not even see what's in the heart. You know, we can be fairly good at acting. That's really what the word hypocrite's all about, right?
See, yeah.
We're actors, and some of us can be pretty accomplished, I think, inside life. You know, we're, you know, the people see us and they see that. But the heart could be in a different place and could be doing quite a bit of evil and mischief and just isn't acting it out right now. But so that's it, I think, Roland. So the righteousness is the state of being righteous. And that's, again, such a great thing with Luther. And that's why it's such a great thing to celebrate is, again, justification, Article 4 of the Confessions. When it gets at that piece, we're declared innocent, declared righteous. Because of Christ, and it's that twofold righteousness outside of ourselves, but then, of course, the blood of Christ covers all of our sin, too, but also we receive then his robe of righteousness, so that's what God sees by faith, see? So it's just a beautiful thing that's ours, and that's that righteousness there, and then we begin to do righteous things, okay? A good tree bears good fruit, okay? So that gets at that side of it, Roland, I would say, yeah.
When it comes to terms like righteousness and it comes to understanding what it means to be declared righteous before a just and holy God, I want to go back to verse 9. At the end of verse 9, it talks about being under sin. If you don't understand what being under sin is, do any of those other terms make any kind of sense or reason?
I agree. The power of sin. And so how do you help people understand that. And one way that Paul went about it, Roland, is that everyone has some kind of code, okay? Some rules, in a sense, that they do live by. And so eventually, I mean, they're bound to break those things. So I think that maybe can get at this, just the power of sin. You know, we have a good that we think we should do. The ought is how Immanuel Kant talks about it. And yet we fail in order to do those kinds of things. So maybe that could help people get at this power of sin. But you're right, unless you come to that understanding, you really can't help a person too much then.
Because yeah. I've even had really some of the best things that I can bring to the program are experiences I've had with other people, just sitting at Starbucks or whatever and getting into conversations about this.
Yeah.
And one of the arguments that's raised is about the righteousness of God, and how can a righteous God hold me accountable for something I didn't do? So we're born into this world, we don't ask to be born, and when we are born, we're suddenly saddled with all the sin of Adam, with all the guilt and judgment that comes along with that, and we had nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
How is that righteous, that someone holds me accountable for something I did not do?
Yeah. Yeah, we are, in again, through Adam, all sin, right? That's Romans 5, probably coming up, too, I think, a little bit later. And right, and it's an inherited sin. You know, we talk about that, given. It's the one it's not such a good gift that I give to my kids, okay?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, so they got it from me. I got it from my folks, and it's what we do. I mean, it's what we give, and it's what we pass on. And so, how do you then overcome? And this is again where God, in His great mercy, reaches into our life for many of us early on in baptism. And it's the stronger man coming to bind the strong man to set people free. I mean, that's again that great story of Jesus there. So there is a salvation, and it's God's plan that take place. But you're right, Roland. That can be a troubling question to people. You know, but then if we look in the mirror, we see that. Again, there's no one that's righteous. I mean, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't live a clean life. None of us do. We're all stained, and it's filthy rags kind of stuff, right, out of Isaiah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we've done programs about Kierkegaard. We've done programs about Nietzsche and some of the other philosophers and how they still influence how people see theology today, but not to get too philosophical, but I'm curious about this.
Yeah.
Why isn't sin uniform? Why don't we all sin at the same level? Why are some better at sinning and some better at not?
Yeah, that's a good that's a good one too, Roland.
Yeah, just a curiosity of mine.
You come up with a lot of good stuff. I think, well, Jesus starts it off, though, and then that Matthew 15, where he says, this is what the human heart's like. But I think disposition can be maybe a piece of it, you know, I suppose. But I think for myself, you know, again, the moral correction and the teaching, the instruction that is given to people inside life can help. You know, so, I mean, you're right. We go at it differently. My wife, you know, if you compare, you know, Roland, I think my wife is more disciplined in a way. You know, Roland, if we want to talk about, I mean, we're both guilty in God's sight.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
My wife, I would say that's been such a great gift inside my life, is to have Carol. I had, of course, mom when I was young. But I've been connected and married to a very special person, and Carol does a nice job of helping me keep the faith and to be a good example, a godly example for the children, and to be a good partner in her life. So I think part of it, Roland, is who we're connected to. It's dangerous to be alone in life, Roland. I think that's the hard part, I think, for people. And so many people are, I think, alone. So how do you get through life, okay? And be blessed, you know, and help others and walk the way that we're supposed to. See, we need others to do that. Your show does that, Roland. You're lifting up scripture. You ask these great questions, and you help people wrestle then with faith and with life. See, and that's a great gift. Okay, people. Again, they need these conversations, Roland, in order to be able to live in ways that are pleasing in God's sight. Those are the core relationships in God's sight, but also in the sight of my neighbor. Yeah.
Well, it's all about, well, the word here is understand. Paul says that no one
that's
understands.
Right.
And that's kind of a curiosity also, because what does he mean? I mean, you and I have been having a conversation for almost an hour now.
Yeah.
And I think we've had some pretty good understanding about God and Scripture and what we've been discussing in this text from Romans. What does he mean by no one understands?
Yeah. It begins then, again, with the fear of the Lord, you know, is the beginning of all wisdom, all understanding. And then a wise person is somebody that doesn't follow after other gods, like the gods of the peoples around you. It gets the first commandment again. I think that's always the beginning of it. And then, or like the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, not to be arrogant, to be prideful, to not engage in evil behavior is what it says in the book of Proverbs there. So, or to build on a sure foundation, again, when I think of Matthew chapter 7, all these are different ways. A wise person is someone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. So that demonstrates understanding, I think, Roland, is that way, okay?
And you know, the other one, we've got just a little bit less than a minute and a half here before we have to let you go, Dr. Steinbrun.
Sure.
The other phrase that's used here, you know, before their eyes.
Oh, yeah.
If I take that to mean awareness, we're not aware. You know, we need to be aware that we are accountable before God.
Yeah.
We're back to where we started the hour and this idea of good sinners. People who are aware that they're a sinner, but they tend to minimize it. So ultimately, what do we do with them? Do they need the law, or do they need the gospel, and at what level?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we always need that, the look or whatever. That was Sartre there. We need conscience, I think, in order to be awakened. And we need to be confronted, I think, again, with our nature, okay? And we cannot forget that part of it, Roland. So, no, we need that law. And blessed is the person that reflects on these things, okay, throughout the day. So that's a wise person. But the great thing too is it moves beyond that, okay. And so we don't become prideful or arrogant or pharisaical, holy ones. But we're made holy and declared holy, and it's all because of his righteousness. Again, that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think, really gets at that well, Roland, okay, where Christ is our righteousness, okay? He's our, he's our righteousness, sanctification, he's our redemption. And so if we're going to boast, we boast in the Lord. Yeah.
The Reverend Dr. Anthony Steinbrun serves as president of the New Jersey District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You heard me mention a book earlier in the hour, which is Worldview. Is that still available from CPH?
It is, yeah, it is. They're closing out on it, though, Roland. They're just going to offer it, I think, as e-book. I think CPH is moving that way.
Well, that's the way the world is moving, yeah.
Yeah, and you can get it really pretty reasonable right now, Roland. It's like $5, I think.
Wow, you should pick up two then at that price. Dr. Steinbrun, thanks for your time. Go out and celebrate National Bratwurst Day. Have a great weekend.
Yes, we got Johnsonville Brats here inside New Jersey now, Roland. So you can't beat that. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's what I'm doing tonight. Yeah.
All right, my friend, all the best. Up next, Faith and Family. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.